From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of July, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss today's USDA reports. The WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, were released at 11 a.m. today. You can find those numbers, by the way, on our website right now at willag.org. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics, and we'll take up the cash grain segment, that with Amy Sage from the Andersons, and we'll do it all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, before we get to the numbers, let's start with this morning's report. The outlook for 2021-22 U.S. wheat this month, says USDA, is for reduced supplies, lower domestic use and exports, and decreased ending stocks. Supplies are lowered on reduced wheat production and beginning stocks. All wheat production is lowered 152 million bushels to 1.746 million. The all wheat yield is 45.8 bushels to the acre. That's down 4.9 bushels from last month. Corn beginning stocks are lowered 25 million bushels as well. That based on greater feed and residual use for the current crop year, as indicated in the June 30 grain stocks report. Corn production for the 21-22 forecast is 175 million bushels, now bigger than it had been on greater planted and harvested area, for, again, from that June acreage report that came out on the 30th. And the national average corn yield is unchanged at 179.5 bushels to the acre. By the way, during June, harvested area weighted precipitation for the major corn producing states was below normal, but did not represent an extreme deviation from the 1988 to 2020 average, according to the USDA information released today. And finally, from today's report, soybean production is projected at 4.4 billion bushels for the current year. That's unchanged from last month. Harvested area forecast at 86.7 million acres came from the June acreage report, is unchanged from last month as well, but up 4.4 million from last year. The soybean yield forecast remains unchanged at 50.8 bushels to the acre. Soybean supply and use forecast are unchanged also from last month. In Chicago, corn futures reacted, moving 15 and three quarters of a cent higher in the September contract for the day. That was at 5.45 and a quarter on its last trade, December at 5.33, up 16 in March at 5.40 and a half, 15 and a half higher. August beans were up 25 at 14.04 and a quarter, September 13.58, 19 and a quarter higher, November $13.50 and a quarter, up 21. The bean meal 2.90 higher. Bean oil for the day up $1.70 at 64.05. Wheat futures soft red, 25 and three quarters of a cent higher at $6.40 and three quarters of a cent. The hard red at 6.15 and a quarter, up 21 and a quarter in spring, up 42 and three quarters in the September at $8.57. Live cattle futures there at 1.1982 and a half in the August, 60 cents higher. The feeders at 1.5815, down $1.02 and a half. And lean hogs on the afternoon finished at 104.7 and a half. That was up $2.50. Here now to talk about these numbers and the reaction in Chicago to today's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate is Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. A little rainfall here. How about in your part of the world?
Yeah, it's a little lighter, but man, you get on west of us, they got pretty heavy downpours over the weekend. It seems like you get in western Illinois, southern Iowa, northern Missouri. It's just a big wet hole in through there now. But there's still some areas that keeps getting a little here and a little there, and the pond's just not drying out. We pretty well see some areas with low grounds, got some big holes in it, pretty well toasted. So we'll see, you know, how this crop comes along. But for crop that got in early, it's well drained, looks pretty good, particularly in corn. A lot of tassels are out, silks doing their work in through here. And for those that's got some sweet corn that needs help, let me know. I'll be more than happy to help you out on that. it's kind of starting to come on. It's getting close.
Indeed, indeed. In the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, before we get to today's USDA numbers, they're still lacking but getting better in Iowa, parts of Minnesota, I suppose, some of the Dakotas too.
Yeah, we'll see how the crop conditions report comes out this afternoon. We're not seeing signs of a big improvement as a nation, but it's kind of hit and miss, and they had some beneficial rains. Now, whether it's in time or not, we won't know that till this fall for sure. But, yeah, talking to guys in southern Minnesota, they've got some relief. But you got to go a little further north than that, into Canada. And, you know, we talk about Dakotas and Minnesota, but Canada, man, a lot of canola, rapeseed oil, and some other commodities up there just been getting hammered too. And so that sort of counts on the supply-demand balance sheet on the world numbers. You know, they could be a little short in their production. And that's the last thing as a producer. You just don't want to be short on bushels with these good prices.
Well, tell me about today's USDA WASD from your perspective.
Oh, man, from our point of view, it's just total relief that we did not see the herky-jerky action. It kind of felt like the computers were shut off for some reason. We kind of saw the numbers come out. The market kind of zigged and zagged a few cents and just was able to hold firm for most of the session and firmed up going into the close. So it's kind of relief we didn't see 20 up, 20 down in just a matter of a fraction of a second. But the bottom line, the corn got just a little bit bigger. The ending stocks came in at 1,432. Basically, what they did is they just used the larger acreage, and you might want to use harvested acres because that's what the yield's going to be time. And 84.5, they left the yield unchanged, 179.5. And so the number was just a little higher than what trade was looking for. The bean number didn't change a whole lot, just virtually unchanged. Bean production unchanged, 4.4 versus 4.4 last month. The new crop bean ending stocks unchanged at 155 million bushels. So corn hesitated there for a minute, a little bigger number. But when you look at 179 bushels the acre, ideas that maybe that could be a little smaller than that, then plus two ideas corn demand is going to pick up as we move forward here. The surprise, I guess, or the sleeper, and probably guys, gals, and analysts and brokers talked about is the wheat number came in a little less than expected. Wheat production was 1,746. Last month we were 1,898. Not super duper bullish, but that was kind of a positive number. And that spilled into the world-ending stocks on wheat. We still have ample supplies of wheat around the world, but wheat world-ending stocks came in at 291 million metric tons versus 296 million metric tons. And that gave wheat support through the session here. Not that we're going to run out of wheat, but just a little tighter number on wheat stocks.
Yeah, USDA dropped yield by 4.9, almost 5 bushels to the acre. However, I suppose that it is important to note for those listeners in our part of the world with soft red winter wheat in Illinois, we had a better wheat crop than expected, and yield went up there, so they've got more bushels to sell at higher prices, and I suppose they will be happy about that.
Oh, yeah, just about everyone we visit with here in the East that had wheat, pleasantly surprised, and quite happy with that, and it helps the old cash flow having some dollars to work with those extra bushels this time of year.
So a couple of things on the supply and demand tables. In fact, you mentioned the corn demand was good, up 25 million bushel for feed and residual. Ethanol remained unchanged. Exports were up 50 million. USDA did say that that was because of the short crop coming out of Brazil. Did you make note of what USDA put that at this point?
Yeah, well, I had it coming in at 93 million metric tons. Ideas are that number could be lower than that. It's just going to take some time to get the numbers. The numbers probably are 20 days old. That frost freeze that took place wasn't probably incorporated in these numbers because it takes a while to assess that. So that's kind of the wild card, is that South American corn crop here as we move forward. Also, too, as we move forward, some of this, watch these weekly export inspections report. We shipped out quite a bit that we sold here. So ideas are those export numbers could be a little adjusted as we move further down the road here for the U.S. numbers. But the main thing, of course, will be the yield and the U.S. weather pattern here as we kind of move into the second half of the growing season.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. And if you're interested in those USDA numbers from today, the supply and demand tables for the United States are on our website right now at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You can find the supply and demand tables, other reports from the United States Department of Agriculture, CONAB's last set of numbers for its Brazilian corn crop, which, of course, was close to what USDA put that crop at today as well. In today's agricultural news, we'll start in Washington, D.C., where agriculture will come up on a number of fronts, including the fiscal 22 spending bills that are pending in both chambers. House Ag Appropriations Chair Sanford Bishop spoke at the recent committee on approval of the bill.
Our fiscal year 2022 allocation is $26.55 billion, which is $2.85 billion above fiscal year 21.
The allocation, including nearly $400 million for USDA civil rights efforts.
Increases at our 1890 and 1994 land-grant universities and our Hispanic-serving institutions, and a healthy increase for USDA's Office of Civil Rights. Second, this bill provides nearly $350 million to address the impacts of climate change.
Now, Bishop says the bill will also restore pay costs and provide nearly $4.7 billion for rural development, including more for rural broadband.
COVID-19 showed the country that far too many Americans still lack access to adequate internet service.
The bill has $2.9 billion for farmers and conservation programs and $3.4 billion for ag research, plus full funding of SNAP, WIC, and child nutrition programs. Moving now from Capitol Hill to the White House, President Joe Biden signed an executive order Friday directing the Department of Agriculture to engage in rulemaking on several issues. The executive order focused on promoting competition in the U.S. economy and includes provisions on livestock markets and right to repair. The order directs USDA to consider new rules under the Packers and Stockyards Act to allow producers to bring and win claims under the act more easily. And President Biden also directed USDA to consider new rules defining the product of USA label. Further, the order calls on USDA to develop a plan to increase market opportunities for farmers and ranchers. And finally, the order encouraged the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, to limit equipment manufacturers from restricting access to farmers wishing to repair their own machinery, known as right to repair. AFBF, or Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, says the action comes, quote, at a time when many in the farm supply chain are frustrated, unquote. Duvall adds that more opportunities for farmers and ranchers to sell their products will ensure they are paid fairly while providing more options for America's families. And finally today, the rally in crop prices over the last 12 months, combined with increased shipping cost, is fueling inflation of food prices. Cost of shipping bulk grains from production regions in the United States to global users has roughly doubled from last year. Shippers cite rising fuel costs, tighter supplies of shipping vessels, and longer port turnaround times. An economist at the National Australia Bank tells Reuters for years buyers enjoyed low grain and freight prices, and that he sees no immediate end to the high freight cost. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Thank you so much, Mark, for being with us. We do appreciate that. On what has been a hit-and-miss rainfall day in my part of the world, although there's been a lot more hits on rain recently than there have been misses, can you kind of recap what the northwestern part of the Corn Belt looks like to begin with, and then talk about the next couple of weeks?
Well, Todd, yeah, looking at the northwestern belt, that is still the area or the part of the Corn Belt that needs rain the most here. There has been some relief or some improvement over the past week's time frame in portions of primarily South Dakota, scattered areas of southern Minnesota, Iowa. Much of Iowa has fared well. In fact, portions of eastern Nebraska have fared pretty well as well, not just over the weekend, but even looking back through some of the rain development here last week. Actually, much of North Dakota, that's one area that did miss out with any of the more substantial rains, and then in portions of central Minnesota. And so the focus of attention is on that part of the belt, and they do have an opportunity for rain coming up later on this week, Wednesday into early Thursday. And it looks, again, kind of a hit or miss across that region. So some parts of the Northwest Belt will improve, other areas will miss out. Once we get beyond that time frame, it does look like opportunities decrease. Drier weather moves in, and also indications of some heat moving into that part of the belt. But again, just focus in that Northwestern belt here. No sign of any heat moving, you know, fully into the core of the Midwest corn acreage and soybean acreage for the next couple of weeks.
Is variability the word you'll be using for the next couple of weeks for the Corn Belt?
That's looking to be the case here, Todd. And actually, you know, as of right now, we've seen, you know, much of the Eastern Belt has been in good shape. Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin areas have picked up, you know, more significant rainfall, especially here in Illinois. And now Iowa has begun to fill in, not all areas, but certainly they're more of the kind of gone the Illinois route here versus like the Minnesota or Dakota's route here recently. But then as you start transitioning to that Northwestern belt, things quickly go downhill due to the ongoing drought conditions, as well as the more, you know, extreme heat that has moved in or, you know, will be coming up here next week.
What do you see in other parts of the world? For instance, the Black Sea and Russia, some of the grain producing areas of Europe.
Well, Todd, looking at Europe and Russia, the biggest red flag right now is the spring wheat areas in Russia. That's been the case in recent weeks. And actually, that belt will be seeing some improvement over the next few weeks. So some stabilization and crop improvement, not eliminating the dryness, but certainly they're in better shape or will be better shape by month's end compared to, you know, the start of July. Now, further west, we're starting to see more persistent dryness and heat in portions of the eastern Black Sea corn belt. So Ukraine, western Russia, they've started to dry out over the past couple of weeks, look to stay that way over the next few weeks, and also will be in a warmer than normal temperature pattern. So an area certainly to keep an eye on, not any kind of major issue because they had a wet June and even back into May, but at this time, it is an area to keep an eye on.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. He joins us each Monday here on the Closing Market Report. By the way, you can find us anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org, and listen to the whole of our program right now. In fact, you'll find not only that, but this morning's USDA reports there, so you can get yourself updated on the latest acreage figures, which were out in June, and then incorporated into today's WASDE report, kind of like Amy Sage has at the Andersons. And then, of course, she's been talking to farmers and others about what that report means, and she now joins us from right here in Champaign County. Thank you, Amy, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit about reaction to the report, initial reaction, and then if it caused producers to do anything at all.
You know, not a lot of producer selling activity post-report here, which isn't terribly surprising because we were rallying to a degree in front of the report. You know, we went into it up about 10 to 11 cents in corn. You know, as soon as we saw the numbers, you know, we set back a little bit there, but still remained positive on the screen. So we didn't dip lower after that. Now, obviously, we're back up about 12 cents in corn at the moment, 22 cents in old crop beans and 20 cents in new crop beans. So we've had a positive reaction here, but nothing dramatically different than where we went into the report. So not a lot of activity there. I think at this point, You know, people are probably going to be making decisions based on how they feel their crop is doing, and timing versus the calendar compared to, you know, as the market has sold off and as we come back here. But pollination will play a role in producer selling, I believe, you know, as they get a better feel for what they believe is out there, you know, compared to what they've already had sold.
Now, had we been talking two and a half weeks ago, we'd been worried about going through pollination under dry conditions. That's certainly not the case in East Central Illinois today. In your draw area, does it vary or differ much from north to south or east to west as what conditions producers are telling you about?
You know, not a ton. Obviously, there's been some areas that got, you know, significantly more rain than others. That has caused some stress, particularly in the beans. Generally speaking, you know, the corn, obviously we've had some cooler temperatures here now, plenty of moisture, too much in some areas, but the corn seems to be handling that a lot better than what the beans are. You know, we're seeing some dead spots in beans in the low areas and some yellowing. Of course, you know, it's a little bit early to tell how that's going to play an effect. We'll probably really just have a handle on that once we see combines roll. But as a general rule throughout our draw territory, people feel pretty good about how the corn has handled the excessive rain versus how the beans have. You know, stuff looks pretty good. You get into Douglas County too, and they had some pretty heavy rains where they're seeing a little bit more of the stress in corn from the conversations that I'm having. But as a general rule, corn feels pretty good today.
USDA lowered the cash price for the season to $5.60. However, December corn now at $5.30, so it would need to have some overs in order for that to make any sense at this point. What did you all think about that cash price today and the one it's been using since the numbers were released in May? I think it was $5.70 to begin with.
Yeah, so right now, for example, our cash basis for fall corn is at $1,500 December. That's about a nickel to a dime better than where we're at typically going into pollination in this part of the state. And so that's already a pretty decent basis for, you know, the middle of July here. Usually you can see that swing one way or the other once we get through pollination and kind of get a better feel for what's out there at that point and what rail values are trending. But right now, that's a decent basis for this time. Now, beans are in a similar scenario, although, you know, we obviously get a better feel for the crop size in this area in August versus middle of July. But bean basis here is 20 under the NOV for fall delivery, and that's about a nickel to a dime better than where we typically are at this time of year as well.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.